Thank you so much, my brother, for the beautiful reading of God's Word. I want to emphasize before we look in Proverbs chapter 8 this morning, I want to emphasize that missionary Knott is coming on September, and that he's coming in the evening service. He cannot make it in the morning service. He's only going to be, he and his wife was here 15 years ago. And so this time, the churches in Danville and his own church, I think it's Hayward, are paying for his trip to come here and visit with us. He is one of the giants missionaries that I know. He have learned Spanish language so well. He writes books now. Raquel taught him in the 70s Spanish. And he has learned so well. Now he writes books in Spanish all over Spain and Europe. A wonderful man. And also, the young missionary that we have, Jose Avila, he is coming. Brother Noriel Jovi confirmed to me that he is okay. He need to preach again the next day in Cuba. But he will be with us on our anniversary. I think it's October the 2nd. He will be with us in the morning service, and we will have our own celebration for 29 years of church. And we thank the Lord each time. I just brought a little picture in the back in the 1994 when I was my birthday, and Tricia was just a tiny 7, 8. One of the joys is that I was trained by an elderly pastor, by 80 years old. And he told me the greatest joy of a pastor is to see the children growing up in the Lord. And in this church, I have a double blessing. Most of them are college graduate, which other pastors say, incredible that you get that. I don't get that. God does. And the only thing I do is emphasize God in the families. And as the family put time and sacrifice for those children, they see their reward. And we thank the Lord. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer just briefly before we look in the scripture. Our Heavenly Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. So we cry today, give us your word today. And let the spirit show us the way. In Jesus we pray, amen. You turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. And you are there in that page. We, during this month of August, are studying in the book of Proverbs, Counsel for Life was the real series of studies. And we remember in chapter 7, we studied counsel for better living. Remember verse 2, what the Bible said there in verse 2, keep, he said, my laws as the pupil of your eye. And so the counsel there was counsel for better living. And the best way for better living is not a better job. It is not a good checking account. It is to have the pupil of your eye. Remember, the pupil is the hole that you have in your eye. The capture light talks to the retina and talks to the optical nerve and talks to the left side of your brain. And they together in 1,000th of a second, they figure out what you see and tell you, you're watching a clock. Amazing? Not amazing? When you do like that, and you study medicine, and you see that, you're scared to death of the perfect machine God made. Now, God said, yeah, just do that. Put God as the pupil of your eye. How you do that? Well, put one hand in Proverbs and go with me to the book of Romans. It comes to my mind this morning as I was reviewing the sermons in Romans chapter 4 and in verse 3, there is the example that the Bible gave us for putting the Word of God as the pupil of our eye. Paul was questioned in Romans chapter 4. You look in verse 1 and he was questioned, what then shall we say that Abraham our father have found according to the flesh? How did Abraham became saved? Now look at what Paul can talk. He's a philosopher. But look at what he did in verse 3. Look, for what does the scripture say? Now, that's the way you put the Word of God as the pupil of your eye. When somebody tells you something, okay, let me see. What do you say? Okay, let me see what the Scriptures say. When children want to say, well, I want my father is wrong and wrong, I open Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents without condition, all right? Obey your parents. And that's the way it is. When somebody complained about the husband, the Bible said, wife, love your husband. Listen to this one. As Christ loved the church. For if Christ put up with me, you have to put up with your husband. Okay? That's what it is. Now, you husbands have to love your wife and have to honor your wife and so on. And you can take any, you take government, for example, and you put the Scripture, you take finances, you put the Scripture, and the Bible said, don't spend more money what you have. All right? Remember what Jesus said? If you have built a tower, be sure you have all the money, because if you build halfway and you don't have the money, people will say, oh, what kind of a person is that? They do that. So the Bible really addressed the issues of life every century. It's not it's a book for 2,000 years ago. It's a book for today. Actually, it's tomorrow's newspaper. So the first counsel is you can have a better life and you can avoid mistakes if you follow the Scripture and you put the Scripture as a pupil of your eye. Now, secondly, in chapter 7, counsel for balanced living. Remember, and immediately after that blessing of chapter 7, you come to the problem that a woman, a harlot, dressed like a harlot, entices this godly man. And so God brings into the scenario of life sin and righteousness. Which one do you follow? I want to mention to you one verse that has been great for me. 1 John chapter 2. If you move as an example of that question, counsel for balanced living, you need to find out that balanced living means you have to make decisions about how you're going to face your life. I want to read verse 1 and verse 2 in 1 John chapter 2. He said, my little children, this man was over 99. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. You know, the Bible is a guideline so you cannot sin. But if anyone sin, we have a lawyer, an advocate, a lawyer with a father, Paracletos, somebody who stands beside you, with a father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I hope you have Jesus. Because if you have no Jesus the righteous by faith, you do not have that lawyer before God. You know that? You cannot buy Jesus. You cannot give me an offering and buy Jesus. Jesus, you acquire Jesus by faith. And he becomes your lawyer. And when you sin, you say, boy, I did it. And then you confess to God, you have no merit to be forgiven, but Jesus does. And so you said, when you close your prayer, you say, in the name of Jesus. Now remember in the Old Testament, when they're going to pray, the high priest has to pray only. In the New Testament, the same. Only the high priest pray. You mention the prayer, and then you say, in the name of Jesus. He's the high priest, according to Hebrews chapter 4. And so therefore, he take your prayer. Say, he's Gabriel again. Forgive them, Father, because I die for him. That's deep, don't we? That is deep. All right? Now, second sermon was counsel for a balanced living. We try not to sin. All right? Now we come today for a very popular sermon. Counsel for a happy life. You know, I watch other churches over television, channel, and DirecTV, you can turn 329 to 440 and 78, and they are different. They are commercial Christian stations and bring everybody. And so I flip over sometimes in the night to see what is in the marketplace. And what I want to tell you, you can't believe it. I turn on the church, and the church goes, ha, 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 ha Is this a church or what is this? He said, the Happy Life Church present. Ha, 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 ha. And I said, well, this must be a joke. So I keep on listening. And the pastor came in and said, well, we're all happy. Ha, 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 ha. For half hour, I turn on. Half hour. He said, you have been in the Happy Life Church. Can you imagine? In America, to English-speaking people who graduate from college, this pastor has a large congregation of 2,000 people. They go over there for half hour to laugh. So this is a Happy Life Church. You know, Satan is a good engineer, I tell you. Satan is an angel of light. It's unbelievable. One thing is to be happy because of what the Lord said. Another thing is just to sit in the pew. As soon as you come in, I watch it. People were coming in, sit down. You know, they're going nuts. The Bible talks about happiness. Look in your Bible now in Proverbs chapter 8. And we're going to talk about counsel for a happy life. Of course, entirely different than what I told you. Now, look at here. Verse 32. Our brother read the scriptures that we're going to meditate. Say, now, therefore, listen to me, my children. And then the King James, another Bible, used this word. For blessed are those who keep my way. You see that word, blessed. In the outline that I provide for you in the bulletin, I copy from the Hebrew Bible the word blessed. There are two words. The word blessed here is esher. And esher means to be happy. To be happy. And just to give you an idea that what is to be happy, I copy from the Alexandrian University the meaning in the Arab and Hebrew word of happiness. And I put it there in the note. Joy is a spiritual quality. But happiness is the emotional expression of that quality. That's what happiness means for a Hebrew and for an Arab. Joy is a spiritual quality. You cannot be happy because of material things in Hebrew or in Arab. Joy is a spiritual quality. And happiness is the expression, the emotional expression of that quality. No wonder David danced in the temple. Now you look back in the Old Testament and in the Psalms, David said, I will dance to the Lord. You read the book of Acts and remember the 10 lepers, one who was healed, he danced into the temple. It's not that you need to dance, it's that he expressed himself, the joy, through the emotional quality of that moment. So now, with that in mind, not with the American style of mind, the happiness is a big house, a supercar, and all this, but with a Bible quality of happiness, let's study this. All right? All right? Counsel for a happy life. Now, what are the critical elements that will give me a tremendous happiness in my life? All right? Number one, look at here in verse 32. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. You listen to God. That's the first quality. The first is critical, a spiritual quality that will develop a great spiritual happiness is you listen to God. Now, let me show you in Romans chapter 10. By the way, in the Bible, in the outline, you find between parentheses the page number of our pew Bible so that you find the reference quickly. In the book of Romans, you know this scripture in chapter 10. And in verse 17, look at what the Bible says, 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's just what Proverbs 8:32 said. Therefore, listen to me, my children. And so listening to God. If you don't have time to read, you can buy a little machine like this. And now it's in, I don't turn it on because it's in Korea. But you can turn it on. I have it in 22 languages. I'm learning the Korean language. And so I push and it reminds me how to walk, how to do this and the other. And when I go to the gym, I push it and it's the Bible. And then you get a little speaker in your ear, all right? And you put it here like this. And then I put the Bible over there and I smile to everybody. And they think I'm nuts. But I even see Chris's father over there. He looked at me. And right away, he goes away because he knows I had the Bible, all right? And you listen to God. You amazing how much you learn when you listen over and over and over. I have a button, there's a repetition, and I use it. I'm not too smart, so I have to listen 5 times a chapter to memorize it. And so I listen over and over, and then finally I shut it off, and I memorize it myself, and then doing this and that. It's just amazing. Just listening to God's word. Listening. Most of us don't do that. And so I said, I had to find a place and a time to do it. You do the same. Find a place and a time, a place where some of you do not like to hear the word of God, so you like to read it. That's fine. But do it, please. And do a chapter a day. Do a chapter a day, like Dr. Billy Graham said. Do the book of Proverbs, 1 chapter a day. And then grow up and do 5 Psalms a day. And, you know, and very soon your head is bombarded by the word of God. Critical elements that will produce a happy life. Because see, if you do not have, be informed. You know, if you go in a submarine and you go to the third level where they control the submarine, there is a big sign. Whatever, be informed before you touch buttons. And before you step into life, be informed. Let God tell you about life. Before you look into the paper, let God tell you what He's planned to do with this universe in order to bring joy to the believer and have the believers with them. So listening to God's word is the first critical element. You cannot have a spiritual life unless you put at least an hour in that book. Amazing. I know we are busy in America. I know. Unfortunately. But if you don't put time in these books so precious, you know nothing about life. And you don't know how to handle your family, how to handle your work, and so on. Somebody calls you, you know, I have a stress time in work. You know what Jesus said here in the Word? Where God said, you work not for that boss, you work for God. And you shine and smile and in spite of everything. That's how God recommended. All right? Number two. Keeping God's way. Look at verse 32. He said, listen to me, listen to God. And then happy are those, not only who listen, but what? Keep my ways. That is the hardest thing to do. It's easy to turn a computer and an earphone and listening. But now that you listen, you are liable for what you listen. And you need to do what God said. Keep my ways. All right? Now, I'm going to give you a class in anatomy. You go to school, you spend a semester. I'm going to give you 1 second class. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go over there. All right? Page 1289. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You cannot believe this, but through centuries, people are fighting for this. I mean, real fighting, the church, to interpret this text. Look at how simple it is. Look, you see, now Paul is going to say the blessing, and without knowing, Paul described the anathema of an individual. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. The word completely means the whole of you. That's the way the Greek think. When I say happy to you, the Greek are philosophers. And when he says happiness to you, well, the Greek are thinking happiness to what? So Paul, to be sure they understand, he said the whole of you. And what is the whole of me? Here it is. And may your whole spirit. Doctors do not believe you have a spirit. The Holy Spirit, soul and body be preserved. You are a 3-part component. You have a spirit. He gives an account to God. A soul, which is your personality, and the body, who tells you how good-looking you are. That's it. All right? And then when you see that, it says, blessed are those who keep my ways in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body. Who keep my ways in all the components of my life. All right? Now, let me show you when Paul was under stress and they argue with him, how he expressed his happiness. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:12, page 1296. 2 Timothy and chapter 2, 2 Timothy there, chapter, 1 and verse 12. Look at how he expressed himself. Look, he said, "For this reason, I also suffer these things." He was always, if it's a man in the Bible, persecuted and mistreated and criticized and put it down, was Paul. He said, "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Why? Now, look at what he's in control. He said, "I know whom I have believed." That's his soul. I know where I stand. You know, I like it when a police stop you in a traffic violation. He said, the first question a police will ask you is, "Do you know what you have done?" And if you play a little, you say, "No," but you know what you have done. So you want to know. One time I say no, and the policeman said, "Pastor Otero," he recognized my voice. And I said, "Well, I want to know what you know before I tell you what I know." And we all laughed together, but I got the ticket. Okay, here it is. "For I know whom I have believed," he said. He knows what he has believed. Have you know who you have believed? You believe in the church, or you believe in Jesus, the Savior? The church cannot save you, but Jesus can give you a new life. You believe in your pastor? The pastor cannot save you. Jesus can save you. "I know whom I have believed." He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and that he came down and put his life for him. He believed that Jesus was righteous, and that because the Father, God the Father, was pleased with him and his baptism. In John chapter, in Matthew 3, the Bible said, "I am," God said, "I am well pleased about Jesus. He's my beloved. I am well pleased." In other words, there was no sin in Jesus, and he can present his life to God and a payoff of a sacrifice. Now, why a sacrifice? Well, you read the Old Testament. The only way to be justified before God is to take a clean lamb, remember, once a year, and there was cut and the blood is sprinkled. There was a sacrifice. The New Testament is the same. There is a sacrifice required. But no longer I need to have an animal. I have Jesus who died for me on the cross of Calvary and has shed his blood. And when I believe in him, I'm touching him, and therefore I'm with him in heaven. Now, Paul believed that. "I know what I have believed." Have you? I ask people, "So what do you believe?" "Oh, I'm a Catholic," or "I'm a Protestant," or "I'm a Pentecostal." No, I'm not asking you where do you have a congregation and you meet for feeding your soul. I'm asking you, what do you believe? Because if you don't know, then how can you follow? "I am persuaded whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that commitment until the day of redemption." How wonderful. How wonderful. And so, keeping God's way. First, you listen to God's word, and then you keep God's way. And somebody asks you, "What do you do this?" Then you have to know what the Bible says about it. You know? The love of correction of children is very extremist today. If you're in a restaurant with your children, and you shake a child and say, "You eat the whole food I bought for you," then the police can be called, and you be in trouble. I was called here from a former member of this church that he was in trouble. The police was there, right there where Lions was here in Dunn Avenue. And I went over there, and I said, "This is my pastor." He said, "Well, this man is trying to tell the child to eat all the food." "Is that right?" I said, "The food I pay. If not, wrap it up, and tomorrow morning they give a call." "So you are no human." "No, I'm just telling what the Bible says. Obey. Children, obey your parents." And he's trying to tell the children that they cannot do what they want. They have to do what daddy and mommy said. He said, "Well, child will suffer." "Yes, sir, will suffer, but it's good." I said, "You policemen, you do what your officer said to you. And you are here because there is a law. You are obeying the law to come here." He said, "Well, you know, I don't understand." I said, "I leave you alone, thank God." And he left. But I tell you something. It's keeping God's way. You better know God's way, because that is important. You need to know and you need to practice what you know. All right? Number three, do not ignore God's word. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Do not ignore God's word. Listen, hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain or ignore it. Do not ignore God's word. That's extremely important. Do not ignore God's word. Oh, I know what the Bible said, but I like to do this. Now, come on. Do not ignore God's word. Look with me in the book of Romans in chapter 2 and in verse 13. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. Look at the encouragement of the Apostle Paul to the church of Romans. Look at what he said. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Romans 2:13. The doers of the law. And you know, an unbeliever cannot practice the Bible. You know, an unbeliever cannot practice the Bible. You need the whole power of the Holy Spirit and the whole power over and over you to practice what God said. Because it's an odd with the common sense of man. And so I know when a person is a believer or not a believer, because the person disobeyed God. When a person disobeyed God, is an unbeliever. When a person obeyed God, is a believer. And so do not ignore God's word. You know what the word of God said, you pay. You do it. You know, April 15 comes in America, you pay taxes. And people say, why you pay taxes? Because God said to obey a government. They are instruments in the hands of God. And say, what? Yeah, that's what it is. That's the only reason I pay taxes. Otherwise, I will try to evade it. But because God said you pay it, you do it. And in other words, do not ignore God's word. Keep the word of God. We're talking about happiness here. We're not talking about being in a school. We're talking about being happy. All right? And then verse 35, be sure you got the right priority. For whoever finds me, I like that, finds life. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. For whoever finds me finds life and obtain grace from the Lord. If you find the Lord, you find life. It's so odd with the young people, for example. You study your career, you become an accountant, you become an engineer, you become a lawyer, you become a doctor, and now you think that I had to find that job that gave me the security and the joy of my life. You know, here it is, Matthew chapter 6, a text that I used to myself to be sure that I'm okay in America when I came to America. In 65. When I came to America in 65, everything was blossom. Computers were not in the market, they were in the just a scratch. And you can find a job any place with big money if you're a professional. And Raquel and I had to sit down in the sofa in our living. I paid $75, one bedroom, living room, kitchen, bathroom. And they pay even the water and the garbage, $75 in Alameda. And what are we going to do with our life? Here it is, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have nothing, so we do not close the door. We left the apartment without closing the door. What? What are they going to take? Clothing? I thought, I came to America, and I thought, oh, this is north. So I brought five luggages with wool and things, and so much that the inspector, an immigration inspector in Los Angeles said, what are you trying to do? So we are in America. Oh, ha, 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 he laughs. He said, you thought that this was cold like it is in south of Argentina. I said, yeah, no, no, it's not cold like that. See, in south of Argentina, it will be 30 below zero centigrade. He said, no, no, no. He says, well, okay. He said, you're going to sell this. A very good wool. He said, you sell it here. But, you know, what are we going to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His right. So the first thing we did, we looked for a church. And thank God for a man who came in, a missionary in Argentina, wrote to this man. He didn't know Spanish, poor fellow. He will knock the door and he will say, Iglesia, car, car, iglesia, boo. And we went with him to the church. And the church was in English. And the pastor will come in. And, you know, I don't know anything. I listen. But if you listen, if you have a Spanish Bible with English words, you can listen and learn pages and pages every service. And then I invite the pastor for dinner. You know, what time is dinner in South America? 10 o'clock in the night. So I said, Pastor, you come 10 o'clock in the night. And I had the dictionary with me. So to talk to him. And the poor pastor came in. See? And with his wife. And I had big steaks and so on. And you know, and he was so afraid, but he ate it. And Pastor Weniger, the dean of the seminary, and he told me later on when I learned English this story that he told everybody. He said, I was awed at 10 o'clock in the night, but I learned that America is not the only country in the world. And that Europe and other people, they manage their life in a different way. And I learned, it's the first time in Oakland, California, that a man will invite the pastor at 10 o'clock at the night for a big dinner until 12 midnight and enjoy it. He said, when we left there, we were exhausted, and the guy had a lot of energies. Yeah, you know, you eat the steaks. You see, our priority was to find God in America. That was our priority. And I thank God for missionaries who said, now, you go to this place and this church and this man. And we did. And we thank you. He was a great gentleman, a great pastor, and a great teacher, and later on a great dean at the seminary that I attend. Now, I tell you, it's just the critical elements of happiness. So it had nothing to do with money, had nothing to do with being American or Filipino or Korean or Japanese or Chinese, had nothing to do with races, had nothing to do with the place I live, had to do with this, listening to God's word, keeping God's way, do not ignore God's word, and be sure that you go after the right thing first, which is God. You get up in the morning, and before the gym, I go down to my office, and I say, God, it's me again. Good-looking man to do the gymnastics. Please bless me. Thank you for the legs. They are 75, still moving. Thank you for my arms. Thank you for my mind that can think. I give thanks to God. I'm 75. I thank to God. And you know, you can do the same. You go to work and you take for granted, don't you? You get up and you take for granted and so on. So a happy life. Blessed are those who keep my ways. And remember, it's very simple. You listen. You keep the word that you listen. You do not ignore what God said when a decision has to be made. And then you go after the right priority. I'm just going to, before I go to the negative part, I'm going to put a parenthesis about our deacons. From the time we found our church, we do not approve anything by majority. We approve by unanimity together. If one deacon says, I don't think it is right, then I listen carefully. Because maybe he is right. And there is one thing we do. And they ask me, Pastor, what the Word of God said about this? Now, you are in a safe church when a board of deacons asks the pastor or pastors what the Word of God said about this. That is the way our deacons take decision. I'm proud of them, and I'm safe with their company. And if you're in a church that is safe because of the seriousness and how we take this word of God to apply to our life. Now, I want to share with you briefly the alternatives to happiness. Look at here. Self-deceitfulness, verse 36. But he who sinned against me, you see, sin is not against anybody else. Sin is against God. God. You know, December 25th comes in America. And surprise to me for the first time, all those executives and those people in great degrees and so on, they invite you to a big party. And I went over there and they told me the happy hour. I said, happy hour? Oh, so these people, what are they going to do? They're going to laugh or something? No, that was drinking. And they drink without eating. Can you imagine the liver and the kidneys, what they tell them to the stomach, to the heart? They're drinking without eating, and they drink and drink and drink. And one man, I said, you know, you're going to drink so much, you cannot go home. He said, I know when to stop. Then I knew how to speak. I said, no, you don't. Look at here, Jeremiah 17:9. Of course, those professionals don't care about Jeremiah, but I care. Jeremiah chapter 17, and look with me in verse 9, what Jeremiah has to say. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. The word deceitful in Jeremiah 17:9 is the word slippery. Slippery. One time I was driving in New York in the snow the day before. It was a nice black ice. You don't see what it is. And I put my brakes and end up in a home over there, with the car. And that's how it is. When you trust your heart, it's slippery. You're going to end up in the wrong way. And so don't try to sin against God. Don't try to trust yourself because you're going to sin. And Proverbs chapter 8:35 said, you have to know exactly in verse 36 that you cannot sin against God. Now, you're not sinning against your wife. You're not sinning against your daddy or mommy. Or you're not sinning against your neighbor. You sin is always against God. That makes it really hard. You don't want to sin against God. I don't want to sin against God. So when we look to sin in that way, that stops us. And so here it is, self-deceitfulness. Well, I did this. Nobody saw. Remember last Sunday I told you about Moses? Well, I look in the left, I look in the right, I look front, and ahead. Nobody is here. He forgot about God, and he killed the Egyptian. A righteous act, but it was not what God's plan was. And so he ended up 40 years. He married. He now is under a shepherd for 40 years. And his father-in-law was a shepherd. And I got respect for shepherds when I spent 1 week with them here in the mountains. A shepherd. A man who cares. Strong, but who cares. And that's exactly what happened. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Any sin, anything that's contrary to the scripture is contrary to God. Whether you do something against your wife against you, children against parents, parents against children, whatever, and your work, you know, there is no room for sin because it all is against God. So don't be self-deceived. And now, self-destructiveness in verse 36. Look at what the Bible said. But he who sinned against me ruined his own soul. Remember that the body, the anatomy of the body by God, have a spirit, soul, the real you, and your body, the good-looking you. So you have the good-looking you, the good-looking personality, and your spirit. And what the Bible says, he said, but he who sinned against me ruined his own, no, body later on, but soul. Say you smoke in excess. Well, your bronchial system on the big block. What can you do? You drink in excess. Well, cirrhosis of the liver will come in. And your liver will say goodbye. You know how it is. And so, yes, it's your soul that is important. He said, against me, ruin his own soul, the real personality. You take drugs and you lose your personality. I had dealt with a young fellow years ago, 32 years ago. And great man, young fellow, 20 years old, brilliant. And in a second, we split to craziness. He had been in excess of drug with alcohol, which is a combination that had no retrieve. The parents sent it to Colorado to a center for improving it. There was no retrieve. Great guy. He will study the Bible. He will, and in a split of a second, he will go. Why? Because he has sinned against, he lost himself. When you sin against God, and then you injure yourself, the real you, the real rationale of your mind. You no longer knows what is good and what is bad. That's what it is. You no longer can distinguish this is right, this is wrong. And so the scripture is very clear here. Wrong his own soul. Well, counsel for happy life. See, it has nothing to do about marry a gorgeous Miss Universe, nothing like that. Only one man married Miss Universe. It was Adam. Adam marrying Eve. Eve was Miss Universe. There was no other women there, so she was Miss Universe, the only lucky man. All right? Remember when he saw her? He said, oh, this is bone of my bones, and his light come alive. A man without a wife is dead. So that is the beauty. Now, is anything to help me to understand this? All right, move your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is way in the back after Ezra, right here, Second Chronicles, and then you get Ezra and Nehemiah. And they're going to restore the entire. The Jews have been working hard. Wednesday night we read the chapters where the Jews finished their work in 52 days, half of the wall, and then they finished their homes. And there was remarkable. By chapter 8, everything is finished. Now I want you to listen to this verse, so beautiful, who makes a nice closing of the sermon. Verse 10, then he said to them, this is Ezra, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared. You got it? For this day is holy unto the Lord, do not sorrow. Why? Listen to the end of the verse. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. You can take some alternative medicine, vitamins, and things like that and help you. But the real joy of the soul, the vitamins helps your body. And then you move more flexible and you feel no tired and it's good. But the vitamin that you need is the Lord. Look at what they said. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The soul, the real personality is not going to be improved by vitamins made by man. It's going to be improved by Jesus, our Lord, coming into your life and moving you with hope. Have you believed in Jesus? That's why we keep on saying that. That's why I keep telling you that the Bible, for more that you read it, whatever you read it, points to one part. Your soul needs to have an encounter with the Holy of Holies, Jesus, and surrender to him and say, I believe in you as my Savior. And then raise up your hands, and now you're going to have joy. Maybe you cannot pay your house. Maybe you cannot pay your car. But you have calmness. You know, when you are nervous and you are under stress, you cannot think right. You know that. But now that you have Jesus, you know that the Bible will show you the way. Get hold of a friend who knows the scripture and ask him questions about this and the other. What does scripture say about this? What does scripture say about the other? Amazing. Amazing. The joy that comes when this happens. In my 34 years of life in the ministry, Radio and Church, I have seen joy in people when they obey the word of God. I have seen their lives change completely because they obey the word of God. God is in business to help your personality, the cycle of you, but it has to be helped by Jesus. And all starts by believing in him as your Savior, as the one who has cleaned that dirty heart who is deceitful. Jesus wants to really change you all around so that your personality will be godly and holy. Your body may be decay, and we're all going to decay. We're all going to die. Solomon said, we all go to the same place. this world, whatever it is in this world, is vanity. But there is one thing, Solomon had peace with God. Do you have peace with God? That's what real medicine is. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you again, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you that happiness is not the result of material things or economics improvement. Happiness is the result of finding you and follow you. Oh God, help us as Christians to demonstrate to this world that in spite of chaos, in spite of economical disaster, we are stable because we have a God who loves us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.